So say this with me today. Religion is painful. Very painful. Say very painful. If you're a man, just bend your legs for a moment. Just cross your legs. I'm just going to preach from the Bible. Say religion is very painful. And what's religion in Afrikaans? Godsdienst is baie eina. Say eina. Eina. Okay, let's read. Galatians 5, we're doing a series on freedom. And every one of us, I don't know if you've ever bought a car and it looks very beautiful and you buy this, you buy it with full faith. It's like you go in there and you buy this car and you've got faith in your heart, and the salesman, that they're a special breed. They say, this car is the best secondhand car you will ever buy. It's fully serviced. You're not sure where, but it's fully serviced. There's a record. You're not quite sure if the record's right, but there's a record of the servicing. And as you get into it, you go for the test drive and everything's fine, and then you buy it and you drive out. And as you come and stop quickly, it pulls to the left. Have you ever had that? It's sort of like, you think, oh, my hat. And then pulls to the right. And then you take up a sport like bowls. You must be careful of bowls, because more people die playing bowls than rugby. It's a true story. It's a true story. It's facts. Yeah, just because old dogs play bowls. I know that, but there are more heart attacks on the bowling green than there are on the rugby field. It's a true story. But every bowling ball that you pick up, if you go one way, it will go this. If you turn it around, go the other way, it will go that, like that. And every one of us has got those bends. When you push the brakes hard, we go to the left or we go to the right. And when you throw the ball, it goes to the left or to the right. That's why we need the Bible. Because all of us have got a bent, one way or the other. Either towards religion or towards amoral licentiousness. I was sitting in a meeting this week, friends, and I remember meeting a girl 20 years ago, and I couldn't remember how I met her. But she happened to come to church 3 weeks ago, and now she's got a boyfriend, and they don't live in town. And she said, can I have coffee with you? And I said, absolutely. And I couldn't quite remember how I met her. But I remember that I journeyed with her for a while. And we were sitting having coffee this week, and they are absolutely in love, and they are besotted with each other, and they found God, and they're free, and they're experiencing this new relationship. And then this man said, I went into an anti-abortion rally with these placards, Christians against abortion. And I looked at this little girl. Well, she's not a little girl anymore. She's a woman. I looked at her, and her tears just started falling from her eyes, and I started to cry. Because I met her because she had an abortion when she was a young girl. I remember her walking up into my office in Durban with her parents, and she thought she was going to walk into the law. She thought she was going to walk into some cross headmaster. And she walked into my office, and I said, this is the lounge of a father. And her and I became friends around redemption. And the man she's dating now was the guy carrying the placard saying, Christians against abortion, Christians against abortion. And now he's dating a girl who's had an abortion. And now you've got to find God's grace, because one is pulling to the left and the other one is pulling to the right. And I sat there looking at this beautiful couple. I just sobbed. And I thought, God, only you can take someone from extreme religion and from extreme wildness and bring them into a relationship of grace. Amen. And then, you know, the amazing thing, Kathy just happened to be in that restaurant. Kathy Dollenberg happened to be in that restaurant. And when the bill came, somebody said, are your bills being paid? Of course it's being paid. I mean, and I said, was it a girl called Kathy? She said, yes, it was a lady called Kathy, but she's left already. And now I'm sitting here thinking, we're talking about God's grace and the bill gets paid. And that's how we extend the kingdom of God. Little bit by little bit, in every situation, whether we're having coffee or having lunch, or we have got Thielan Tankies, go there afterwards. It's ladies in our church. Thielan Tankies started by a business empowering other people. Just go and bless them. And the money that we make there goes towards a pastor who needs care. And so we take that money, we give it to a pastor who needs care. And people come and say to me, oh, why are you turning God's house into a market? Ach, man, jump on your horse. This is not a flipping temple. This is just brick and mortar keeping the rain and the sun off us. We are the temple of God. You can't turn this thing into a market. Amen? I'm going to talk to you just now about religion because you're going to get anal. Let's read Galatians 5. Are you with me? Nice to see you. It is for freedom. Say freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, military term then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Every one of us have got external signs. I saw it this week. I saw two guys shake hands. That means you went to Grey College. That means you went to Uffies. This means you went to Boys High. We've got all these external things, don't we, that tell us whether we're in or we're out, don't we? The way we shake hands, the way we worship. I did a black wedding, friends. I didn't know this, but in our culture, when the bride walks in, you stand up. That's honor. In the black culture, when the bride's in, you sit down. That's honor. I said, everybody stand. They said, no, sit. But friends, it's not whether we stand or whether we sit, is it? Because if those are the things, we are going to never ever be able to get on with each other because now we stand or whether we sit or whether we stand or sit. Then Christ has no value to us. Because Christ lives way above whether we stand or whether we sit or whether we shake hands like this or shake hands like that or whether we grew up in a church or grew up with other church, whether we were in anti-abortion rallies or whether we had an abortion. Christ has to come in and set us free, completely and utterly free. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. The whole law, 613 laws. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do, you must, and you can't. You are trying to be justified by law. You are trying to be justified by law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Say hope. Friends, most of our relationships in our lives are based on history. I have Chris with my family because I have a history with my family. I grew up as a dyer. I have history with my family. I meet my mates from school because we played rugby together. And we talk about the good old days 30 or 40 years ago. I have friends from university. I have friends from rugby. I have friends from church that I've done church with. But the relationship of the church is a relationship of the future. We are here together not because we have the same past, but because we have the same future. And so what will separate us is our past. What will hold us together is our future. You understand that? That's the hope. Hope is not like, oh, I hope tomorrow is a sunny day because there's a wedding. That's not the hope. The hope that we speak about is an anchor that is rooted in our future that we hold on to for dear life and we draw it closer. So whether we sit or stand at a wedding, whether we went to Uffies or to Boys High, makes absolutely no difference. That's historical. What holds us together is that you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives together. The rest of our lives we're going to spend together. And because of that, I lay hold of the hope and I bring it closer. Does that make sense? So it is because of our future that we have hope, not because of our past. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, we're going to do a test just now, has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you? Amazing term, eh? You were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Dr. Saki Sneyman. Who cut in on you? That's the issue. That's the issue. That's the issue. We are talking about external signs that qualify us for our future. What I'm telling you, it's an internal happening inside of your heart. Who cut in on you? You're running a good race. You're running a good race. Let's put that video up, if you don't mind.
By a spectator, and the crash went all the way across the road.
Everyone pretty much in the ditch is Wout van Aert. Julian Alaphilippe didn't hit the deck. He's about one of the only riders. So, yeah, it's a van at the side of the road trying to hold a sign out for the camera. Got absolutely thumped. Shouldn't have been there in the first place.
You're running a good race. You're running a good race. Who cut in on you? Do you see, friends, when one person goes down, you can stop a whole peloton behind you. That's why we have to keep going at this, keep going at this, keep going at this, until the whole community, because it goes on and says this. This kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough. One guy says, you have to be baptized. Somebody else says, you must be baptized when you're a child. Somebody else says, you must tithe. You must, you must, you must, you must. And all of a sudden, this generation that we're trying to get free, get tripped by one person, and people start falling. That's why. You say, Rory, why do you keep going on at it? I will keep going on it until every single one of us understands we are here by the grace of God alone, in Jesus' finished work alone. And anything else of that is taking the value of Christ away. Any external behavior is taking away the value of Christ. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and don't stop with the foreskin, cut the whole thing. Because you're messing up the grace of God. You're messing up the grace of God. Stand, sit, shake hands, don't shake hands. What gives us our identity? Our identity is Christ. Anything else needs to be cut off completely. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Simon, just for no other reason than because you're beautiful, where are you? Has he gone out? Simon, come here, you beautiful thing. And where's the, is there a child in here? Yeah. No, three children. Bring one of your children. Put the yoke up there if you don't mind. Put the yoke up. That's a yoke. Afrikaans, we call it a? A yuck. Not a joke. Yuck. There are two things we get yoked to. We get yoked to sin. It says, in the past, Galatians, you were enslaved to the basic principles of this world, and we get yoked to the law. It is for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free. Do not let yourselves become enslaved to the, say it, the yoke of slavery. So, come and stand here, Simon. Put your, if you don't mind putting, okay, is he too shy?
No, he's okay.
Okay, he's too shy. A little bit. Okay, he's too shy. Come, Ellen. Put that over your shoulder. There, like that. And put this on your shoulder. And you can see he's taller. So you can see who's stronger. You can see who's got the power. And always, friends, the weight is going to lean here. Always the weight is going to lean here. So when you're in sin, you are in partnership. You are in yoke with sin. You are yoked together. So this girl will never be able to turn that man in a million years. He's too strong. So wherever he decides to go, she has to go because she's got a noose around her neck. So if he says we go left, she goes left. If he says we go right, she goes right. If he says we're going straight, we go straight. He said if we're going backwards, back into our old life, back into sin, back into pornography, back into, she goes because she's got no choice because she's bound. Then we swap it. If you can come and stand this side, Simon.
Yeah, sure.
And you tell. And all we do is we swap our licentious lifestyle now for a religious lifestyle. But the law is also more powerful than me. And so wherever the law goes, I have to go. And so now I'm obeying the law. Obeying the law. Obeying the law. So keep standing there. Let's put up Acts 15. Let's read it together. I don't know where our priest's going to go. So men came down from Judea to Antioch. We're teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom taught by Moses, unless you shake hands like an Uffies boy or like a gray boy, or like if you haven't come through the religious ranks of Pretoria, if you have not, then you cannot be to this day there are people in Pretoria that don't accept me because I'm an outsider that came in to preach in the religious institution thing. You're an outsider, you never grew up here. Go and jump in the lake. I'm in Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you this, friends, because there's so many things that shake us. This board, you cannot be saved. And unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And unless you are baptized, you cannot be saved. Well, tell that to the thief on the cross. Amen. Tell that to the thief on the cross. And I believe children belong to God. I believe every aborted child goes to heaven. Amen. I believe that. We're going to see millions of children in heaven aborted. And so if you're sitting here having an abortion, your child is in heaven. The Bible says children belong to God. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some of the believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the brothers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised. You have to add something to your salvation and require to obey the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles might hear from our lips the message of the gospel and believe. God knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them. Say us and them. There is no distinction, friends, between us and them. Ayanda, do you mind joining me, please? There is no distinction between us and them. There is no distinction between us and them. This city decided to put in law the distinction between that. And so in the roots of the city is the distinction between that. If that is still our distinction, then Christ is of no value. And he has no value according to the law of our previous land, historically. But if we turn and we look to the future and to the hope to which he has given us, and together we lay hold of that and pull it closer, and I give Christ value, then I give him value, and he gives me value.
Yeah.
Great drawing. Brilliant picture.
And now there is no distinction between us and them. because we are in Christ.
Great draw.
This is just one picture. We can make it male and female. We can make it English and Afrikaans. We can make it rich and poor. We can make it educated and uneducated. I want to tell you, whatever this strong man is, he will pull you around for the rest of your life. Yeah. And it's starting to get heavy, hey? Yeah. But it's starting to get heavy. It's starting to get heavy with tears in my eyes because there are people in this church that live under the burden of shame and guilt and fear and condemnation and sin and not doing enough and not good enough and you've been too bad enough and it's and you just sit there and think, God, how? Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of a disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke and said, brothers, listen to me. It doesn't matter. Matthew 11, please. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my? This is what Jesus does. Watch that, buddy. Come closer. Takes it off. Keep standing there. Keep standing there. And he fulfills, he takes the whole of sin and he absorbs sin into himself and he absorbs the wrath of God into himself and he takes the whole law and he fulfills the law and that yoke that kept us enslaved becomes Jesus, whose arm is long enough to get to Ayanda, and his arm is long enough to get to the girl who had an abortion, and his arm is long enough to get to the guy who was at an anti-abortion rally, and he pulls them in close. And says this, don't devalue Christ. Don't try and do anything. Now your shoulders are sore. Now you've got to go for a massage. Then you have to go, and then eventually you've got to go to the chiropractor, and you've got to spend money to try and carry this load which Christ carried for you. Sure. Yeah. Say this, I don't know what time it is. Just put your arms out. Bump people. Say, it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set me free. Do not let yourself be burdened again. Because eventually, friends, somehow the enemy has got it in such a way that this is what will end up happening. This poor girl will have to carry this thing all by herself. And it just rests here. And her husband's saying, Raw, you can't. You can. He wants to step in and she wants to protect. And Mel's saying, hey, babe, be careful with Ellen. I love this girl. But there are people that are literally dying under the weight of guilt and shame and condemnation and disqualification. And you think that your sin is too far for God to get to. And he says, come to me, all you who are tired. I will give you rest. And it doesn't matter. Keep standing there. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how strong this guy is. It doesn't matter how many weights he's lifted. If he keeps standing here, by tonight his shoulder is sore. By tomorrow morning his shoulder wants to fall off. By the next day his knees start shaking. And he stands here as a strong man thinking, I can do this, I can do this. If you think you can do it, Christ has no value. And so Christ takes it off. And he stands in front of him. He says, come to me. Come to me. Not to the law, not to the church, not to religion, not to baptism. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, and I will put my yoke upon you. I will put my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And in me you will find rest. 3CI. Rest. Say rest. But we don't use our rest to commit sin. People say, oh, if you preach like this, Rory, people are going to do everything. No. The hands of God are wide enough for the law and for sin. It pulls me close. You say, do you preach tithing as the law? No, I don't. You're free financially. You're completely free. And then God comes and says, I want you to give me access. Seek first the kingdom. I want in relationships and in time and in your business and in your words and your money. But it's not going to be by the yoke. It's going to be by the yoke of Christ. Say this, I am free.
I am free.
I will stay free.
I will stay free.
For freedom's sake.
For freedom's sake.
Christ has set me free.
Christ.
Never again.
Never again.
Will I be burdened
by the yoke of slavery.
Amen.